Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Jason Smith coming up next segment. But before we do that, let's get into the list. Tiger football. Yeah, Jonah Dillon over at the Commercial Appeal reports the following. Memphis football's 2026 game against Arkansas is getting a new date. The game is moving to 2030, Arkansas Athletic Director Hunter Yurecek said today. This allows the Razorbacks to comply with the SEC's 9-game conference schedule that will start in 2026. The Razorbacks had 4 non-conference games scheduled and had to get rid of one. Now Arkansas will host North Alabama and Tulsa next year and will travel to Utah. Did not realize that was on their schedule. That's never a fun trip for SEC teams. A Memphis athletic spokesman confirmed to the Commercial Appeal that the game was also confirmed that the game is being moved to 2030. According to Jonah, Memphis now has a spot to fill on its 2026 schedule. The Tigers will play at Boise, and they will host Arkansas State and UT Martin next year. Arkansas and Memphis signed a 2-for-1 deal where the Razorbacks will play in Memphis this year, while the Tigers were scheduled to play at Arkansas in 2026 and 28. So that now means in 2026, the Tigers have Arkansas State at Boise, UT Martin, and one additional open slot. In 2027, they go to Arkansas State, they host Southern Miss, and to Middle Tennessee State with also an additional open slot. 28 is now at Arkansas, Mississippi State at home, Arkansas State at home with an open spot. 29 is at Arkansas State, at Mississippi State with 2 open slots. 2030 is Boise State, at Southern Miss, at Arkansas with an open slot. And then 2031 is at Boise State. When Jonah put it out on Twitter, listener to the program, Justin Crone, also noted that perhaps Louisville could be in the same situation that the Tigers are in, as Louisville is scheduled to play Georgia next year. Georgia will have to drop one of its non-conference games. They're obviously not dropping the Georgia Tech game, so Louisville could make some sense there. That was scheduled to be the same weekend that the Tigers play Arkansas, so maybe you could wind up, you know, finding a spot there. I think that'd be a pipe dream. Not saying that that's unlikely, but you know, that requires Louisville saying that that's a game that we want too. I think the first question that everyone's going to have on their mind is, does this game get played
in 2030? Who knows? It's going to be the same problem then. Arkansas is going to have to play 9 SEC games. They're going to be lower to middle tier in the SEC. They're going to be scrapping to reach bowl eligibility. And if Memphis is still a decent program, they're not going to want to play Memphis because they're going to want to make a bowl. And whoever their coach is then is going to want to try and get to 6 wins so he can get some ridiculous contract incentive. And he's going to say, you know what? Let's not play Memphis. Let's play somebody from the FCS instead. So, yeah, do I think the game gets played in 2030? I'm not so sure. And if I'm Memphis, now I've got this opening next year, Jeffrey. I'm looking really hard at how seriously the College Football Playoff Selection Committee takes this strength of schedule thing
Yeah.
before I decide who I'm going to fill to take this spot next year. Because, yeah, if they're serious about strength of schedule, then go out and add the best opponent you can find. But if they're not, go add some lower tier Conference USA team.
Well, because you're also, you bring up an interesting point. So I get it. It's just week one. I know pretty confidently when I'm watching out west, the Mountain West and the Pac-12 are basically going to dilute each other. One is the Pac-12 is going to be stronger than the Mountain West, but there's still going to be the dilution of both products. It feels like it took a couple of years, but I think what we're seeing now is, unless there's like a two-game difference, I think we're close to getting back to where the American is going to have the leg up on the other leagues to get the bid, the additional bid. And then I think you're 100% right, because at that point, you might kind of start scheduling the way that, like we just said, like we just laid out for these SEC new coaches, they might schedule where they're trying to get, you know, an additional win for some type of compensation. It might just be a situation where it's like, as long as you have the right record and you win the American, you might be in the driver's seat. Because
yeah,
I actually think that's what it is,
see
right?
That.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
We need evidence. We need evidence, because you mentioned this in the open when we were going through the tasting menu. The scenario where SMU got snubbed and Liberty got the G5's New Year's Day bid because Liberty was undefeated, right? Well, they had literally the worst schedule in all of college football. SMU won the American, was 10-2, really well respected in the power rankings, but their strength.
They lost to TCU. And then I think they had another P5 loss. Their two losses it was like P5.
Absolutely. Yeah, they were quality losses, if that's a thing.
I will say, though, on that point, because I agree with you that, hey, we got to at least see how it plays out. I actually think what happened to Liberty made them go, okay, we can't just sit there and go, the undefeated team is in. I think that is one the committee would actually like to have back, because I've always felt like more times than not, the committee gets more crap. I think based on the selection criteria that they give them, which, by the way, they didn't make up, the conferences did, I actually kind of think they usually get it right. I think that's one that they go, yeah, we really messed that one up.
Yeah. But if you're Memphis, I wouldn't just be racing to add the best team you can find necessarily. But if you can get them to come and play in Memphis, then yeah, you can sell tickets to that game. Or if it's a huge check that you're being offered to go and play another P4 next year, then okay, maybe you consider it, right? But you're already playing Boise State. You're already playing a decent Arkansas State team. So if the American's a little bit better now, we think the American champion is going to get that G5 bid. I don't know. I'd be careful about running out there and saying, oh, Louisville wants to play us. Let's go play Louisville. Like, I think they should kind of wait around and push the envelope down the road a little bit on that if they can.
I'll say this. This is not a spin zone. This is kind of trying to game out the way that all these things are going to work. And there's so many other question marks. Like, for instance, Cobb, what are the conferences even going to look like in 2030? I don't know. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, that could be a pretty significant year. Here's where I do think Memphis might not be up S Creek without a paddle, like I think some fans believe. I do think, I'm not sure all these schools that have been cash happy when they weren't having to pay the athletes, canceling a $3 million game, I don't think is just going to be a nothing burger to Arkansas. Because I also think what's probably additionally going to happen, and I think you would agree with me, go into the 9-game conference schedule, and while it doesn't mean one extra home SEC game for every team every year, it's going to rotate. I think ticket prices are going to go up. And I think the donation value is going to go up. And I think you're going to be in this spot where, hey, man, if we're going to start asking these people to keep forking over, I think people would rather see a Memphis game than see the FCS game. And you're also going to sell tickets here. You know what I mean? Memphis fans are going to go.
Yeah, in the larger picture, though, this SEC going to 9 games and then the ACC probably following suit. Have you seen, is the ACC also going to mandate that their teams play another P4 at a conference?
I have not. And also, okay. I have not seen if the Big... Like, that was always what I laughed at, was like when the Big Ten was so adamant about trying to get the SEC to play the 9th game. Now, while most Big Tens, not, I don't even know if it's most, but a good portion of Big Ten schools are playing an additional power game they're not all doing it.
Well, it almost feels like there should be more specific criteria around it. Like, rather than just saying you have to play another P4, because like Northwestern is awful. Stanford is absolutely awful. There's some teams in the Big 12 that might end up being absolutely awful. Oklahoma State, maybe. Instead of just blanket saying, oh yeah, you got to play a P4 opponent, I think it should be something like, hey, you got to play a team that's had a 70% winning percentage over the last 10 years, right? Because then you get Memphis and Boise State and South Florida, and or maybe not South Florida, but like you give some of these better G5s a chance, right? Because I mean, if you're trying to boost your league's strength of schedule, you'd rather have your teams playing Memphis or Boise State than you would, or James Madison. You'd rather play one of those schools than you would Cal or, you know, like one of these atrocious P4 teams.
Oh, I forgot to mention this to you when we breezed through NC State, Virginia. Did you realize that is an NC State, Virginia game that is a non-conference game? You know, but like, I was thinking about that. It's like, is that league mandated trying to like internally boost your numbers? Like,
I mean, what good can possibly come from NC State and Virginia?
Because who was it? Was it? I know. Didn't we have like a Wake North Carolina game one year that was a non?
Yeah, they do this. They do this. I don't know why. It happens in the Big 12 sometimes too. I think there's Big 12.
At least the Big 12 one made sense. Like it was Arizona and
They were scheduled to play.
Right, they
already
were scheduled to play, and neither team wanted to pay the buyout to cancel the game. And even though they were in the same league, it's like, all right, we're just playing. I think it was Arizona and Kansas State, if I recall correctly. And so it was a non-league Big 12 game. At least that makes sense to me. It's not like it's not like Virginia and NC State just got into the ACC.
No, that makes no sense. But also,
pretty sure they're founding members, right?
What league is Memphis going to be in 2030, man? Like, you know, I mean, that's something to think about. I don't think they'll be in the same league as Arkansas, so they could still play, not as, you know.
In 2030, I'll say the American. In 2031, that's where it starts to get fascinating. Because I think, right, is it the last season? I think it's the 2030-2031 academic year. And then in 31, that's when everyone's new. That's when the new deals. That's when the new teams will be. Ooh. Part of me thinks, I think if I had to guess, it's either the ACC or what forms out of the rest of the ACC.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think too. I kind of think that's where Memphis ultimately falls.
And it's like, I don't know, will they try to keep the ACC brand?
Oh gosh, yeah. If the Pac-12 is coming back with Washington State and Oregon State, yeah. Whatever's left from the ACC, without a doubt.
Did the Pac-12 dissolve? Is that like legally? I'm asking legally.
No, it never did. No, this is the same entity.
So, yeah. Because I didn't know if it dissolved and then they gave the naming. I didn't know if it was a situation like where the NBA moved the Sonics out of Seattle, but they, as like a token of good faith, they gave the history of the Seattle Sonics and Supersonics to the city of Seattle so that in the event they ever got another team, they could still legally use the history and all the trademarks and everything.
To the best of my knowledge, man, the Pac-12 is the same legal entity that it was before.
Would you agree with this? I'll say 40% ACC, whatever the remnant is, ACC or remnant. I'll say 30% the American, because I think there's also a scenario where these schools can't find homes and the American actually beefs up a little bit. I can see that playing out. And so then I'll say 10% Big Ten, 20% something new.
Okay. I would go 0% on Big Ten.
Big 12, Big 12, Big 12, Big 12. God,
like,
thank
maybe you.
Good
know
call
something
out.
I don't.
Good call out. In fairness, by that point, the Big 10 will have 24 teams.
Yeah, right. No, I don't think the door is permanently shut on the Big 12.
No, I don't either. I think they've said no so many times that I do think there's a Lucy and Charlie Brown with the football scenario going on.
But what if Memphis were to make the college football playoff, which is not inconceivable? Or what if Memphis were to make
this is not no homer, because I do not think South Florida is going to survive that schedule. I think they're the second most likely team.
So I have
Tulane ahead.
Okay. So you go Tulane, Memphis. I mean, I think the American is in the driver's seat to produce this year's, you know, G5 CFP representative. Now, I will say, Friday night, you better be rooting for Louisville to beat James Madison. You don't need James Madison going in to beat Louisville, you know?
I agree. I also, my resting position is the Sun Belt typically eats itself. It's really hard to see a Sun Belt team go undefeated.
Well, the American could too, but that's where it gets back to the point of, is a two-loss AAC champion going to be respected over a potentially undefeated Liberty or a potential one-loss Sun Belt team, right? It's got to be. I think it absolutely has to be.
I think it will. I think if, as long as it's within one game, I think they can still get the nod. Especially if Tulane's loss is to either Ole Miss or Duke, because I think Duke could be pretty good in the, like, I agree with you that they were not impressive on Friday. I still think Duke is going to be that team that feasts on the middle of the ACC, where their record's going to be probably better than they are. But I think that's probably going to help at least Tulane. And then Tulane can at least claim that they went 2-1 against their 3 of their 4 non-cons were power leagues, and they went 2-1. So, like, I think that could boost it. My fear, though, is you get into this situation where you get Memphis and Tulane into that title game with two losses, and then, or whatever, both. No, one of them comes in at like 9-3, and the other's at 10-2, and the wrong team wins, and then it's 10.
Right.
The 10-3 team wins the league, but is that team going to get passed over?
Yeah, but that's a.
Well, we're a long way from that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I like the American. I mean, I think week one. I mean, it's not like the American came out of it some marquee victory, but South Florida over Boise State.
I think it was a good weekend though for the American.
Yeah, that one tipped the scales enough to where I think it's the Americans to lose, and then also it's just the Mountain West flop of a start.
I also, there's a data point out there, and again, who knows? Like we said, it's so early. Rice beating Lafayette could also be, like, Lafayette's supposed to be good in the Sun Belt, and like Rice beat Lafayette, and so it's like if Rice, like, the bottom of your league is beating one of the better teams, like, you can always do that.
I'll tell you what
property.
Stung though, Army taking an L to Tarleton State, man,
yeah.
What in the world, what was that?
Well, not only that, like, I saw there were a lot of sharps that were on Army because Tarleton State apparently couldn't stop the run, and that's one of those ones that, like, I put my phone down for 10 minutes. And thank God I did, because I didn't put the bet in. Mm-hmm. Like, that would.
Well, their quarterback got hurt. Which
that's obviously not ideal. Let's also go NFL. All right, so let's do the NFL portion of the tasting menu, because there's one note that we have to get in because I find it truly laugh out loud funny. All right, early on Sunday. Sunday might be a day that if the wife really wants to go to church, you can heroically act like you're laying down and going to church early and maybe missing the first half.
It depends on what service you go to. If you go to the early service, you're back in time.
That's true. We've now started doing the 9:30, which is somewhat it's helpful on the television watching aspect, but man, that means, like, it means still getting up really early on Sunday for me, especially when I've been up sweating out San Jose State, Central Michigan till 1 a.m. All right,
yeah, let me tell you, yeah, making it to church on fall Saturday mornings, and when you're in our line of work, it's, you know, it's
especially
hero stuff
when there. We, like, you're going to be driving back, like, from Lexington. All right, early we got a division game. We got Tampa at Atlanta. Bucks 1.5 road favorites. Bengals at Cleveland. Bengals 5.5 road favorite. Dolphins at Colts. Colts somehow are a favorite in this game. That's the Daniel Jones effect, I guess. Raiders at New England. Pats are a 2.5 favorite at home. the game that everybody wants to watch. Cardinals at Saints. The Spencer Rattler era is here. Arizona laying 6.5 on the road. And then our last two games are the Aaron Rodgers revenge game, Pittsburgh at New York, Steelers favored by 2.5, and then Giants at Commies. Commies are favored by 6.5. Oh, and Carolina, Jacksonville, which feels like a standard. Okay, that's going to be my boy, like Craig Bowlerjack and Steve Berline. They're definitely going to be on that call. Like that. That's Fox. Dang it. That's going to be the Sanchez is on that game. Yeah. All right. So even though we do have, even though the commish is working in commercials throughout the broadcast of Red Zone, this feels like the peak. Red Zone's got to be TV1.
Oh man, and what? I'm devastated that Red Zone's going to have commercials. I mean, what a dilution of a great product.
I have been on this. You have to treat Goodell. Take this in the spirit that it's intended, people. You've got to treat Goodell like the NRA treats any gun legislation, in the sense of everything's a slippery slope. If we move an inch, when Goodell starts to take, he will keep taking and taking and take. It was the one thing that we had.
And now it's been adulterated by commercials.
I'm seeing reports of 4 15-second commercials per hour. But as I said, that's where it always begins. It used to be it used to be no commercials. Then it was 1 15-second commercial. Now we're not far removed from commercial breaks.
And then it'll be pay an extra $15 a month and you can get it ad free. You know, I mean.
So I was talking about this with Cerrito. That is the one thing that I think is actually difficult, because it is still produced like a live television broadcast. And so the only thing I guess that they could do is you could pay for when they throw to commercial break, they'll probably put one screen on the Octobox and you can keep watching. But I don't think they're going to actually offer a Hanson keeps talking, because it's still a broadcast. Like, I don't know if they're mechanically they can make that work.
Okay, here's an idea. I know you're a TV junkie and sort of a media connoisseur, so I've got an idea.
Television connoisseur,
for you.
Yes.
All right, so obviously you and I both have a certain ability to do the quad box, right?
Yep.
Like, you can go quad box on a Saturday or Sunday, engineer your television provider to give you 4 different games at once. But what I need is a television that can run multiple different apps at once. So I can have my
ESPN Plus
game. Yeah, right. But somebody's got to be able to figure this out. So where I can have ESPN Plus in the top left, Paramount Plus on the top right,
yep.
Peacock on the bottom right, and then something that's on linear TV on the bottom left. Why can't we do that?
My simple explanation is, I'm guessing because the software is not compatible. But it does seem like your television should be able, like, in the end, you're not closing out of the app on the smart TV. It feels to me like your TV should be able to essentially treat it like a, you know, when you've got tabs open.
Exactly. So on my laptop, I can have multiple different things. Even on my iPad, you can have multiple.
Think about your phone.
Apps.
Like when you do the, you know, if you open up the, I don't know, you scroll up from the bottom and the apps come up.
Right. But even like on an iPad, you can be interacting with multiple apps at the same time. I feel like we're behind on the TV technology. That would solve all of our problems with the annoyance of how many different streaming services have popped up to carry games. Because if I can have the Netflix game on the top left, the Peacock game on the top right, the Paramount game on the bottom right, and my linear game on the bottom left, then it's like a lot of the headaches of this era of being a sports fan are gone.
I actually think the real answer is they all know that this is true. They can't survive they've tried surviving on their own, and I think they know they have to like ride this out as a business, and then they're going to say, well, listen, we all couldn't make it work, and then they're all just going to package together, and it's going to be, it's all going to be the ESPN app. Because like the irony to me is ESPN, which is considered one of the villains of the whole linear television, the end of the linear television era, like they're now just becoming their own cable company. All right, let's take a quick break. Jason Smith next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Jason!
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign. No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Jason Smith is the co-host of the Jason and John Show weekdays from 92.9 FM ESPN. From 11 until 2, I should say, on 92.9 FM ESPN. Follow him on X at JasonSmith929. All right, Jason, we got George, we got Cobb, we got you. Who did ESPN grade as having the best fantasy football draft last night?
I didn't see my grade, but I guess my guess is based on the number of rookies that I selected. This happened to me last year, even though I went.
You're building for the future?
Yes. I like going rookies. I did it with Jaden Daniels last year. I had an 11-3 record, best record in the regular season, failed in the playoffs. But with my son, his first year working as co-general manager.
Respect. Delegation. That's leadership,
we went really
Jason.
Young. Yep. I want to. It's his time. He's 11. He's all the way immersed in the NFL now. He loves it. You should have seen the joy in my face when I saw him, when he eagerly accepted the invitation to join me this year. I was so happy and proud of him as a father. All that said, my guess is I have the worst grade of us three because I have so many rookies.
All right, so George has got it.
I have the grades pulled up. The only two, or there are three A's in the whole league.
All right.
Brad, our boy BC, got an A. Mills got an A, and Gabe got an A. I land on here with a B. Cobb, you end up with a C. Jason, I'm sorry to let you know, you have ended up with a D per ESPN.
I'll
it
say
doesn't
this.
Scare me at all. I think I had the exact same grade.
I
had the same grade.
So yep. Y'all did a snake draft. We do auction drafts. So I've got my college buddies fantasy group, and then I got my high school buddies. I got A's in both, and I wished I wouldn't have because I don't know. There's just something about it. It's like when the computer thinks you did well, it's like that's just not how fantasy works. Like every guy I have is going to get hurt. Like I'd rather have no expectations.
I will say I can't remember the app that Kantar Macklin had sent me in the overall grading sheet I was using, but three guys that were in the top 20 of that list, A-Chain, St. Brown, Jackson Smith, and Jigba, you know, for a snake draft where you were picking 11th.
Yep.
I was relatively pleased to get three in our top 20 out of those first, 35 picks. So I'll take it.
I always love also the grades are also, it's no different than NFL draft grades, where I love when the guys that make the mocks have to grade the draft. It's like, it's just another way of doubling down on this team agreed with me.
No question. But listen, a welcome to both George and Cobb, who are newcomers this year, right? I'm gonna go welcome to you guys to the 929 league, and eagerly awaiting to see what you guys are gonna do in your first year.
I appreciate that, Jason. I am also just kind of curious as to why a diehard Bears fan would draft Caleb Williams, but then start Drake May at quarterback over him.
Respect. Earn it.
I got the Minnesota defense, so I didn't want to be playing against myself. Unfortunately, they were the top-rated defense when I finally went defense. And so you're kind of playing against yourself if you've got Caleb out there going against the Minnesota defense. And Drake May's got a, you know, what I feel like probably is going to be end up being a better matchup this week. But I switched that this morning. I may end up switching it back. Don't get me wrong, Cobb. I am in love with the idea, because that's all it is right now, of Ben Johnson taking Caleb Williams to a new level. I'm totally invested in it. I'm expecting it to happen. But, man, I'm a man that's, you know, if I see a better matchup or if it's as simple as the guy's projected to do more, I'm usually going to take the simple thing.
The other thing I was thinking about also is, because you mentioned it, there's nothing, to me, the most annoying thing is I'd rather be, unless you're in a league where the payout is different, like the guy that finishes last pays out more, that's different. There's nothing worse to me than having the best record and then getting bounced in the playoffs. Just the worst. It's like, I had the best team all year and I didn't win.
Brad's figured this out about me is that I think it's been now 8 years I've done this. And I've only won one championship. I do feel like I take it, and Brad's picked this up, I take it more seriously. I'm kind of, you know, the secret competitiveness that maybe that some of our fantasy members don't know about. I take it real. Like, I don't like losing to Gabe. Those matchups I take even more because he's a football man.
Yep.
You know, and he's gotten the better of me in the last couple of years. So those matchups I take very seriously. But to only have the one title in 8 years where I basically had like a 70 win percentage in the regular season, I feel like it's Aaron Rodgers.
I was about to say, you literally, you're the Aaron Rodgers of the 929 Fantasy League.
I'm not. So believe me, I put a great deal of pressure on myself, even though it might not look like it, but with all the rookies I've selected, to win more titles, because regular season wins don't mean a damn thing.
It's a playoff sport. Everybody knows it's a playoff sport. All right.
I love that you got Travis Hunter on this team, by the way, Jason. Like, great job. Yeah. Like, I was so mad that you got him because I wanted him. But
do we know
we'll
if he has an interception, does it count?
Man, I was wondering that last night. You know, a special deal with him. I mean, do I get an extra, you know, 2 points or something for an interception? I've been wondering how that's going to be scored.
Like, if he runs a pick back, does that count for a touchdown?
It should.
I'm leaning no because we don't have IDP.
I'm leaning no too, but I also think when guys do fakes, right? Like if you run a fake punt and a guy scores, that counts. But that also counts as a
special team and defense point.
Yes.
Right. I don't think they made special considerations for Travis Hunter, unfortunately.
All right. The other news that we got officially this week, we officially know that the Hoops for St. Jude tip-off classic is going to be Memphis and Arkansas. How did you interpret when John was asked point blank, does this mean that a Memphis schedule or a Memphis Arkansas series could be on the schedule? And he said, we'll see. How did you take it?
Listen, I'm hopeful, but I'm not as optimistic as my partner, John Martin, is. Because they're in the best basketball conference in college basketball, in the SEC. And in some ways, and I know you have a, you know, that Memphis-Arkansas rivalry back in the day was special, and it's always been special when Memphis and Tennessee play. But in a lot of ways, they, like Tennessee, they don't need you. You know, I hate saying that about my school, about my alma mater, but that's where they are now in the SEC with all of those opportunities. And so when you factor in every, you know, what is it, the ESPN ACC chat, whatever the heck that is now, when you factor in the tournaments they're likely could be a part of, you know, asking him to pin that down, a guy who I still think, even though he said all the right things, and clearly he was a happy man down there at FedEx Forum, being back at Memphis, I still think there's a great deal of pride there. And losing to Memphis in an exhibition is one thing. But losing to Memphis here in a game that matters, I think, is even removed now from Kentucky, I still question whether Cal's willing to do that. I still, especially in the position that he's in, you know, at the head of an SEC school. But what I'm hope, the part I'm hopeful about, and he said this over and over, and we know it from the people that were down there and the folks that he talked to, the folks that he had, I think, lunch with, like he cares about this city in a way that is genuine, in a way that, that a man watched his now adult kids grow up here, go to school here. I think I read that his daughter is now the head of the addiction clinic over at Vanderbilt, White Station graduate. What I'm trying to say is there is a special place. Jeffrey, you've touched on this. You know, Cal needed Memphis too.
Yes.
At the time that he got the job. And so what it did in terms of reestablishing him, rebuilding his career, getting him to the blue blood, I do think there's a, you know, he cherishes the time here and what it helped him accomplish in his career. And so from that standpoint, that's where I go back to hopeful, because here's the side where, well, man, Penny Hardaway and Memphis really need this game. They could really use this game. You know the deal, Cal, with the AAC, how garbage it is. And if you're, you know, yeah, we know you love the city, but we know you love the program as well. And you know how important a game, a home and home, would be for Memphis. So maybe it can be a matter of, you know, yeah, I'll swallow that pride because I know it's a good thing for my former school. That's the part I'm hopeful for. But Jeffrey, that's a long answer to say I'll believe it when I see it. I'd probably neutral. Yeah, maybe so. Part of a, you know, maybe a classic. Yeah, maybe so. But home and home, I'll believe it when I see it.
So it's interesting that you mentioned him, because I was talking about it with Cerrito, and we both agree. Say what you want about the man. The man's a phenomenal talker. Like, he just is. Mm. But because he is a phenomenal talker, I know I've studied enough of this guy's press conferences. When he has a question he doesn't want to answer, it felt to me like he was like, stay tuned. And I also understand,
yeah,
that could be, like, to your point, that could also be letting your guard down because, like, hey, man, this is a great talker. But I've seen him brush questions off in a different fashion where he's able to tell you no without really, like, keeping you on the hook. Like, I don't – to me, it almost felt like, hey, we got some things to iron out, but it's probably closer to not. Like, I don't know. That was how I chose to approach it, and I fully accept I could just be getting my hopes up.
Well, keep in mind, too, I'm kind of with you. Keep in mind, too, that he knew he was going to get this question.
Yep.
Like that, just like when Rick Barnes comes to town on a big orange caravan, he knows,
yep,
that Parther Muns at some point is going to stick that recorder in his face and ask him the question, the obligatory question that they have to ask about a series. So Cal knew coming into that presser he was going to be asked about it, and there's several ways you can handle it. I'm kind of like you. That's enough of a not know, right, to keep people feeling pretty good, and it aligns thematically with sort of the feeling and the vibes down there. But, you know, he didn't say yes. He didn't say absolutely it's something we're going to do. Not that he had to or anything like that. This is obviously about the bigger picture and this exhibition game, and hopefully it turning into a regular season event for St. Jude that will at some point include Memphis. That's the bigger hope. But no, man, like I said, I'm kind of with you. He had some time. That's where I'd co-sign what you're saying. He had time to think about sort of how he was going to handle this question, because you absolutely knew it was going to be coming. You know, he probably gets that just about everywhere. You know, when he's,
sure,
in Memphis recruiting or whatever else.
Yeah.
Just like Rick Barnes gets it. And so from that standpoint, again, I believe it when I see it, but would love for Cal to take that road, because it would be. It's so critical for Memphis to have that, you know, competitive non-conference schedule, because there is nothing for you in the AAC.
Well, I was thinking about it in these terms. I know part of it is like, I really don't think he's going to get booed. I think if he does get booed, it's going to be playful. Like, I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's still some people that feel a certain way, and I, listen, as a grudge guy, I have to respect grudges. I do think if he would agree to the series, like, I think that he would find immense gratitude from the Tiger fans.
Oh, 1,000%, dude. I mean, that's like, you know, Norvell playing Memphis, you know, as the coach at Florida State. I mean, it'll be similar to that. Now, this is the guy removed from it. It's the job that he left you for, and it's a little bit different here. But, no, I think that would be the sort of ultimate, you know, acknowledgement of, okay, you really do care. Because we know, as we laid out, they don't need it. They don't need it to get a good seed in the NCAA tournament. Memphis does, and so he doesn't have to do this. And so from that standpoint, and Memphis fans know that. I mean, if he did that, those few, I mean, it feels like it's certainly a smaller percentage. Maybe few is too low. There might be still thousands that can't stand Cal. But for a lot of those thousands or whatever that number is, I do think you do something like that. Well, that's for the program. That, you know, if Cal decides, the greater benefit of that is for Memphis. And so if he does it, I think a lot of those thousands that you still have left, yeah, they'd come all the way back around. Hopefully it happens. I'm not banking on it. The good thing for Memphis is that Penny Hardaway has shown, you know, for the most part, he's built that program up to a point where, you know, whether it's Scott Drew coming into here, the SEC teams he's been able to get on the schedule, you know, from Missouri to, you know, I know the more local matchups with Ole Miss and Mississippi State, those go back a little bit further. But he's been able to schedule in a way where even if you don't get Arkansas going forward, it's not going to break you.
You're going to be able to get 15, 16, 17,000 into the Forum. I know it's an exhibition, right? You were about around 8,000 last year for UNC in an exhibition, if I recall. I mean, do you think Cal will be a big enough draw to in October on a Monday night? You can get the Forum sort of feeling like the Forum of old.
I'll tell you what would cement it, David, because I'm not sure. What would cement it is if you fly Derrick Rose in, if you fly CDR in Supreme Bay now, if you fly Antonio Anderson in, because what hasn't happened, Cobb, and you realize this now, what hasn't happened is the reunion of it all. Like, you've had those players back individually, sometimes in groups, but you never had them with Cal. You've had Cal here, but not with him. And so to have all of that together, and I bring up D. Rose because, I mean, quite frankly, now he came back last year for Tony Allen's retirement ceremony down at FedEx Forum. He's a free man. He's got plenty of time on his hands. He's loving being a father, taking his kid to school. Fly him in here, make him a part of this sort of reunion. And we're not just, you know, it's not just all about that 07, 08 team that Rose was on. If you can get Tyreek back up here. But we said it from the get-go when the idea of this first started, the rumors started getting out. The way you make this thing a sellout is you make it a Memphis reunion, the reunion that you've never been able to have, the reunion that was put off when Cal went a few years back, when Cal was going into the Hall of Fame. Memphis had a banquet set to honor him. We're going to do a little halftime thing. Got a bunch of blowback on social media. What are you doing? And they decided to cancel it. They put it off. And so you have not been able to do this reunion idea. And that's the way, you know, you lean into that part of it. You get Derrick Rose and all them here and you walk them all out there together, you're not going to have any boos whatsoever. Frankly, what you're going to have is a bunch of, you know, wet eyes and probably folks getting emotional because this is something that hasn't happened. Munn said it in his story, I think he's right, you know, Cal coming back, you know, Penny kind of helping open the window for all this, the reverence he's shown for Cal. It's been cathartic in a way. And I think if you did it that way and you got D. Rose and all them walking out to center court, you know, that's the way that you guarantee a sellout and you guarantee nothing but cheers.
You know, a trend, and I know that we've honored teams, like, you know, we've always done it, but a trend that I've seen the last couple of years that I actually am heartened by, I like this trend in sports now where we are actually, like, taking time out to thank the great players, the great teams, like, have these kind of ceremonies where it's not just trotting them out at the TV timeout and letting them wave and, you know, they get to have a reunion and whatnot. But I like the fact that, like, we're trying to make it special and tell these guys thank you.
Well, there's that part of it, and I'm with you 100%. You're talking to a man that does, you know, sort of does respect burgers every Monday. So yep. The whole flowers thing. You know, it's that part of it. It's the you know, the idea that, again, there were some, you know, there were some hurt feelings. And so to be able to come back all the way around, like we talked about, maybe a little bit cathartic in a way for some folks. And then just, again, this is long overdue. So, you know, hopefully, again, it can extend to something that's bigger. But for, you know, if they don't sell tickets for this and it goes the way that UNC did, which I don't expect, it's, you know, I think St. Jude's going to pull out of the business of trying to put these on. And so hopefully, again, whether it's for the greater good, which is obviously St. Jude, or for the Memphis basketball program and what this event could represent going forward. It's all positive for everybody. Everybody gets their flowers. And the way Jeffrey sort of tapped it out to what you touched on, you know, college athletics is so transactional now. Like, you got a different team every year. You know, and some, you know, yeah, your coach might stay, but your teams are changing. You know, those Tigers teams, especially with Tone and you know, those guys were here. And you locked in. That's what was great about college athletics. You could watch them develop. You had them sometimes 3-4 years. And that was a different time. So I think tapping back into the nostalgia, Jeffrey, to go back to your question, you know, is always a good thing. Thinking about that 2014 Tigers team that we had come out and really, you know, going back to those teams that we remember, hey, that's always a good play in a year where, hell, you don't even know what your roster is this year, even though you got season tickets. You know what I'm saying?
No,
it
I agree.
It was a better time in terms of how connected we were, how invested we were in college athletics.
All right, my man, we appreciate it.
Y'all take care.
That is Jason Smith. We come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, boys, for today's Don't Tell These Story, tell your story. Have y'all kept up with the Jakobi Meyers drama? So, at the end of training camp, he requested a trade, didn't have a trade. He was asked today about his thoughts on being in Vegas. Am I happy here? It's a job. I can be happy anywhere.
Yeah.
It sounds like I could also be happy anywhere but here, but he must be so far down in the depth. Like, why? Like, in the end, I don't, like, that has to be it, right? He's just buried.
He got a bump today with Amari Cooper retiring.
Yeah. I think the demanding a trade is now, I think all NFL teams are just ignoring it. Like, it's like, there's the acceptance of, like, I get it. You've got to say this. Like, this is what you feel like you've got to do, but, like, we're not paying attention to it.
But there's worse places to live than Las Vegas, man. Come on.
I'm with you completely. All right, my man. Be good.
All right, thanks, brother.
Talk to you again next week. That is David Cobb. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Cobb, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.